Hey guys, how are you? Time for a Saturday morning's Daily Juice podcast. I'm your host every morning, Matt Perrault. We are here on bettingpros.com, on YouTube, and wherever you get your podcasts. Remember to check out the Sharps report. We got a letter from Apple saying that soon the Sharps report will be up on Apple, but it's available on Stitcher and a bunch of other podcasts, including bettingpros.com. So go and search that out where you get your podcasts, except for Apple, for the Sharps report, and listen to me and veteran bookmaker Chris Andrews from the South Point for the second ever edition of the Sharps Report. And we're going to have a pretty big name guest, I think, for number three, for week three. So we're looking forward to breaking that news coming up in a little bit. I kind of spilled it a little bit on the Discord channel, but we could have a pretty big name coming up for us here. And well, it also concludes. It's also with the giveaway we're giving away in August. I won't spill that entirely, but we have a new giveaway as well to tell you about soon for the month of August after we get through the month of July. Okay, so a 1-1 day yesterday. And the Giants, man, I tell you this all the time. I bet overnight. I don't know what the public will do, but when I get up in the morning and DraftKings or FanDuel or a book sends out information and says that 96% of the money is on my bet, I just fall down and I get very angry because I am pretty confident it's a loser. And that's what happened with the Giants and the Pirates last night, where 96% of the money came in on the money line. And on my radio show, I was like, look, I've already bet the run line for the Dodgers, but for the Giants, after their great series against the Dodgers. But I would have bet the Pirates if I had seen the numbers that I saw last night. And it was only minus 120 to get plus 105 on the Pirates, and they won the game outright. That was, I don't want to say it was predictable that I was going to lose, but when I got up, I thought, my gosh, that stinks. So we got that wrong. The Yankees got scorched by the Red Sox, 6-1. I'm waiting on the Aaron Boone firing because that was the game. They had to win that game. After the pathetic performance the night before, Gerrit Cole pitches. We got kind of lucky that the Red Sox bullpen came in and pitched really well. Erod left the game early. He didn't have anything, and the Red Sox went out and got him after giving up one run. And then bases loaded in that Yankee lineup, why we bet it, the Yankee lineup just is really, really poor. So I'm going to wait and see. I'm not going to bet baseball pre here. I will have at least one baseball bet coming, and it may be the Red Sox and the Yankees. I may be on the under for the Red Sox and the Yankees. It's 9. If it climbs, it goes to 9.5. I may jump on the under. I'm not there yet to make it official, but I'm eyeballing Red Sox Yankees under. It's a Fox Sports 1 game today with Eovaldi on the mound for the Red Sox. Yeah, maybe, but I'm not there yet. So what I've got for you here for the podcast, I've got 3 MMA bets to give you for fight night coming up tonight here in Vegas for the UFC. We've done fairly well in mixed martial arts. I will have some baseball. We obviously have the golf bet going. So we're watching Tony Finau, who did play pretty well, made the cut and is off the pace, but big round today for Saturday. He needs to go low today to get himself in contention if he wants to be to win the tournament or be in the top 5. It's a big day for Finau to go low, but he shot pretty well. I believe it was 4 under for the second round. So hopefully he comes up big with a nice round. And I didn't like any of the head-to-heads. I went looking at head-to-heads for the third round and not really in love with any of them. So I'm not going to force golf. We're just going to let those two bets for Tony Finau play out here for a little bit. And then maybe if he plays poorly on Saturday, maybe we'll try to recover and chase a little bit and play on Sunday for a head-to-head at the 3M in Minneapolis. But right now, I'm perfectly comfortable letting Tony Finau go out and play here for round 3 and see how he's going to do. And then we got the Team USA bet, France at plus 12. We've got that coming up later tonight. Now, it's technically a Sunday bet, I guess, but it's Saturday morning overnight. It's literally like 2 o'clock in the morning, I believe my time, 5 a.m. Eastern time. And the podcast will begin tonight with Iran up against Czech Republic. So that's all going today. So I didn't feel like I had to force anything else. We had already made plays on the Olympics for basketball. We already have a golf bet going. I'll add on the Discord channel coming up here for baseball. So I felt like, why should I really push it here and force it? Let's just give you 3 bets that I like coming up here for the mixed martial arts for the UFC card. And then we'll just kind of play out the rest of the day. So 2 units in play here with 3 bets that I want to give you. 1 bet is a parlay, And then there are two bets that are kind of prop bets to get better value that I'm going to play here coming up for ESPN Plus for Fight Night here in Vegas at the Apex. There won't be a crowd there, but it's the return of TJ Dillashaw, which everyone is really interested. I've got a play on that against Corey Sandhagen. I got a play on the main card, and I got a prop bet, or a parlay rather, that has one preliminary fight and then one other fight that I want to get into. So let's just kind of start here. Well, first and foremost, did you guys watch Paige VanZant? did you watch her? Did you watch her fight? I mean, my goodness gracious, that was not great. Okay. And Paige loses again. And much like the ONE Championship, when they grabbed a bunch of former UFC fighters thinking they were going to win and, you know, carry themselves to glory, Paige goes 0-2. She's just not a boxer, man. She's a striker. She's a kicker. She's a mixed martial artist, not a boxer. And she got tuned up. Rachel Ostrovich with a big win in her debut for the Bare Knuckle Championship. Not good for Paige. She was a big favorite. I was going to fade her, but the only books I could find any odds on were offshore. So that's just not going to fly. So unfortunately, there was no one really booking that. All that, you know, I don't blame them for that fight between Paige and Rachel for the Bare Knuckle Championship. But let's start with a preliminary fight here that I have been eyeballing. And these are minus 140, minus 150. I'm trying to get some value together here with a couple of plays and a couple of bets early. Okay. The other side of this kind of scares me a little bit, but Punahele Soriano up against Brendan Allen. Okay. Soriano is 8-0. Allen is 16-4. When you look at their stats and look at what they've been able to accomplish, 8-0 for Soriano, average fight time of 7:42. He's 5'11. He's built like a fire hydrant. He's really tough. He's a southpaw. He's not going to have the great reach advantage, but he'll have the striking advantage over Allen. This guy, 4.46 strikes per minute landed to 3.35. 43% striking accuracy means he's throwing a lot of punches, not landing all that much, but he doesn't get hit all that much. 2.8 strikes absorbed versus 4.19 strikes absorbed. Allen can get hit. That is not good. You don't want to get hit with this dude, with Soriano, in his knockout ability. I'm really concerned with Allen being as hittable as he is, that this is the, I believe this is the, at middleweight, I believe this is the main event, or the prelim headliner, if you will, before they go to the main card. But I just look at the types of fights that we've seen here, 8-0 and three wins in the UFC here, three straight wins for the UFC. This is a young and up and coming kid that I think the company really likes Soriano a lot. So if you look at the odds on this guy, I thought about doing a bunch of different things with him. I thought maybe we go for a knockout. I thought maybe we go inside the distance, but I couldn't really come around to anything that I loved on this, because I think I was looking to kind of find a way to bring down some of the value on this and try to find a way to make any money on it. So he's minus 130 over Allen. You may just want to take this straight if you want, okay? But I've been talking about trying to find some value, and I really like Soriano to win this fight at minus 130. And at minus 141, I'm going to pair this up with a fight that I am kind of bummed out that I'm going to bet against this girl, this woman. But Macy Barber is... she's in trouble, man. Miranda Maverick, 9-2. She is a really tough, tough fighter. And I don't know, Macy, I don't know if Macy Barber got brought along too fast. She's so young in the UFC. And she just, at 125, I don't know, man. She's not looked great. She's lost her last two fights in a row for Miranda Maverick. This feels like they're trying to put Miranda Maverick on the map to get a win over Macy Barber. And I hate to talk about, you know, the conspiracy theories, but I mean, maybe Barber can catch Maverick and bring her down, but her striking is okay. It's not great. I mean, her accuracy is okay. I mean, she's going to look for potentially takedowns, but I think Macy Barber is going to get beat here by Miranda Maverick. And I've not had a great run at picking women's fights, So this is one of the reasons why I'm kind of looking for plus value. I'm like, look, let me see if I can parlay this together with another fight. And then if I get the Maverick fight wrong, I'm only going to lose a half a unit by doing this. And then I don't really know how this fight goes. I could see this fight going all three rounds. That's the other problem, is I could see that happening. So Maverick's won five fights in a row, and she won last March. I just think this is a technical advantage and an MMA, a mixed martial arts advantage to Maverick. And Barber, I don't think we'll hit her and strike her. And I think she'll have a tough time taking her down on top of that. So takedown defense for Barber is tremendous at 80%. But, you know, she might go for a submission, but she may also just stand and bang with Maverick. And I think that completely plays into Maverick's hands. We're going Maverick money line, Soriano money line, plus 200 for a half a unit. Okay, I like Miranda Maverick to win her fight over Macy Barber. And I also like Serrano, Soriano up against Brendan Allen. I like him to win his fight. He's minus 130. Maverick's minus 141. You put it together on the money line. It's a plus 200 parlay for a half a unit. All right. Other half a unit. And this is going to be a banger of a fight. Kyler Phillips against Raulian Paiva. I believe I'm saying that right. Paiva? I'm going to kill his last name. Doesn't matter. This is all about Phillips. Okay. Raulian has had a tough time making weight at 125. So he's moving up on short notice to 135. Kyler Phillips, 9-1. Okay. His opponent is 20-3. But Kyler Phillips is an up-and-coming guy. Go watch some of this dude's highlights, okay? He is really fun to watch. He's won four straight fights, and the UFC is starting to pay attention to what this kid might turn into at the bantamweight division, okay? He might one day get a shot at the belt. He's got that type of talent. Tremendous strikes per minute, 5.3 strikes per minute landed, 46% striking accuracy. Doesn't get hit all that much, just three strikes absorbed. Raulian gets hit a ton, 4.89 of strikes absorbed per minute against a dude who's got real power. You're stepping up against a 135er, not good. And Phillips can take you down. Phillips can take you down, and he can finish you as well. This thing's not going the distance, okay? And I'm shocked at this number, okay? Watching highlights of Phillips, a friend of mine turned me on to this and said, hey, go look at Phillips. Go look at who he's fighting. Go look at the fact this is a 125er moving up to 135. This is a opportunity for Phillips to put on a show and to end this fight within three rounds. And it is a little bit of a scary point, but I still can't figure this out. At minus 280 on the money line, Phillips by knockout is... I mean, a pretty decent bet. I mean, you can come in here and jump in. I'm inside the distance for Phillips to win. Inside the distance is plus 270. I mean, huh? By knockout, it's plus 395. By submission, it's plus 850. I'm just surprised at this as they're watching Phillips, watching his talent and watching he's able to do. And the fact that he's fighting a dude who is moving up from 125 and he had a tough time making weight. He missed by 3 pounds in his last fight at 125. I think this is a win for Phillips, either by submission or by knockout. And inside the distance, the value is too great. Half a unit on Phillips to win his fight inside the distance. All right. That's where one whole unit will be placed. The other whole unit comes in the main event. And this is Corey Sandhagen against TJ Dillashaw. I normally don't bet a full unit on a main event card without having a crowd being present. But I think this is an opportunity here. Corey Sandhagen's a really, really big favorite. And I don't think you can come in and bet the money line and see any real value in this. Minus 195. Okay, you can take that if you want and take Corey Sandhagen. But here's my thing with this fight. So TJ Dillashaw is coming back after his PED suspension, and he's been away for a really long time. Being away from the octagon, not being active, we saw it in the Conor fight, right? We talked about how Conor against Dustin Poirier, he wasn't active. They were giving Poirier no respect whatsoever, even though he was the big favorite. Corey Sanhagen's the same thing. We're seeing everyone thinks Dillashaw's a name, so here comes Corey Sanhagen. He's 7-1 in the UFC. The only time he's lost is against Aljamain Sterling. His stats are unbelievable, and I feel like people aren't giving this guy the respect he deserves. His average fight time is 7 minutes and 2 seconds. Okay, this is a 5-round fight. This is a main event fight. Dillashaw, when he was fighting, 11:41. Corey Sanhagen is 5'11". Dillashaw is 5'6". They're both 135-pounders. That is a monster height advantage and a 3-inch reach advantage. Strikes landed per minute for Corey Sanhagen, 6.85. Dillashaw's back in the day, 5.3, pretty good. But Dillashaw gets hit. Even back then, he was getting hit. 3 strikes absorbed per minute. Now, Sanhagen also can get hit at 3.8 absorbed per minute. It's really hard to take TJ Dillashaw down. 86% takedown defense in his career. Not easy. But could Sanhagen take him down? Maybe. I mean, maybe. Talking about a dude who does try to submit, okay, about a half a submission attempt every single fight. But you beat up guys like, you know, Frankie Edgar and Marlon Moraes. I mean, he's beaten some really high caliber fighters. Dillashaw's 35 years old. He's been away for a really long time. This thing's going 25 minutes? Come on, really? Dillashaw's coming back off PEDs and going 25? No, this thing is not going to go to the cards, okay? One of these two guys will win this fight with their hand raised inside the distance. The fight to go inside the distance, the no, is minus 285, okay? Books are telling you this thing is not going to go the distance. So now you got to find which fighter is going to win. Dillashaw inside the distance is plus 295 to the yes. Sanhagen is minus 115 to the yes. He's a minus 195 favorite to win the fight, minus 115 to finish the fight inside the distance. I'm going to go with the dude that just hasn't received the respect that he should have. It's fighting. Anything can happen. There's value on the dog here. Dillashaw is a live dog. I'm not debating that point. Just like Conor McGregor was a live dog. But I'm taking the volume striker in Corey Sanhagen. I'm taking a dude who has more size, more speed, and he's been way more active. And that, I think, is a really big component here. I think this number should be bigger. I think Sanhagen should be a minus 300 favorite here. And the only reason why he's not is because TJ Dillashaw was an absolute beast. And I mean a beast when he had the belt and he was fighting in the bantamweight division. I just don't think that this guy comes back after a 2-year deficit, a 2-year layoff, and steps right back in the octagon in a 5-minute fight and winds up beating a dude who is 6 years younger than him. I don't see it. I see Sanhagen on the way up. I see Dillashaw trying to get some fights in past glory and live off what he used to accomplish, being as inactive as he is to walk right into a main event against a caliber of a fighter like Corey Sanhagen. Give me Sanhagen, one full unit. Sanhagen inside the distance at minus 115 is the bet, is the pick, is my play for UFC fight night coming up on Saturday night. Sanhagen versus Dillashaw. Look, I've been wrong before. Dillashaw may shock the world. I just don't think Corey Sanhagen is getting the respect he deserves here for the talented fighter that he is. And I think there are some real big advantages to Corey Sanhagen beating TJ Dillashaw. He's a name. It's great to have the name, but after being off for 2 years and being banned and being kicked out of the sport, just cannot see Corey Sanhagen getting beat by Dillashaw in a main event in the bantamweight division. One unit, Sanhagen, minus 115 inside the distance. Okay, so those are the three plays for two units for the podcast here today. We got a lot going on, obviously. We got golf, we got basketball, we got the parlay. We got a lot going on here on a Saturday. But once again, Soriano and Maverick parlay, half a unit at plus 200, money line both sides. Kyler Phillips, plus 270 inside the distance for a half a unit. And Corey Sanhagen inside the distance to win his fight against TJ Dillashaw at minus 115. Two full units in play for us here on a Saturday. My name is Matt Perrault. Follow me on Twitter at Sports Talk Matt. Each and every morning, it's the Daily Juice Podcast right here on bettingpros.com, brought to you by BetMGM.